You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in a rainy downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show for you today. Our own Luke Mathers will be joining us at 10:33 to kick around some things at the news. Excited to have Kristen Wolf rejoin us after the 11 o'clock news at 11:06. She's with Democrats Abroad. If you live overseas and you're listening overseas, you know someone who is living overseas, yeah, their votes count. They get to vote. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about what that process is like. The former president has some thoughts. He has many thoughts that we will share with Kristen Wolf when she joins us at 11:06. Also next hour, Pickleball Inc. The corporatization of pickleball has begun, and we'll delve into that a little bit deeper at 11:33. And then we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. This time it's related to our favorite, Jabba the Musk.
Yeah.
Aww. A couple breaking things, though, as we are coming on the air this morning. NBC is reporting that Hall of Fame former quarterback Brett Favre told a congressional committee this morning he has recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. It's been reported Favre is suffering from memory loss. He is testifying at the committee about welfare abuses, fraud. Favre, rather, is being sued by Mississippi over the receipt of money intended for poor women and children. In his opening statement, he said he was the victim of unscrupulous public officials and did not know he was getting welfare money. We certainly wish him the best. I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Of course not.
And we'll see how his testimony plays out. But that's breaking from NBC News this morning. Just a reminder as well, folks, you may not know this. It is a state law in Wisconsin that when it's raining and you have your headlights or your wipers on, your headlights need to be on.
And this is just another piece of information in this segment I like to call Advice from Grandma Jane.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. Turn down your rock and roll music.
No, I was coming in this morning and it was really hard to see. The visibility was not good. It was almost foggy and very spitty. And it was really difficult to see once you're getting the spray off the roads and everything. And there's a guy in the Subaru, you know who you are, driving without his lights on. It's tough to see and I don't want you to get hit. So if your wipers are on, turn your lights on. It is a state law.
My car doesn't even allow me to turn my lights off. They're like when
are they on all
when my lights are off, they're on. So like when I turn my headlights on for the nighttime, they go brighter. And then I have my brights, but when I turn my headlights off, quote unquote off, there's still like a dull light happening.
So they're the runner lights or something?
No, the headlights.
The headlights.
Yeah, it's just, I don't have, I mean, I'm sure if I look somewhere in my car, there's a choice, but.
Calvin, do your headlights go on automatically? Or do you have to turn them on?
I have like automatic lights that turn on when it's dark, but I pretty much have to turn them on manually in the rain.
Didn't know our producer was Calvin Moneybags with his senses the dark lights.
It's a 2009 hand-me-down from my dad. I don't think it's that state-of-the-art.
He can have nice things.
Absolutely. I'm
Calvin
just saying,
can have nice things.
No one likes when you strut, dude.
Oh, jeez. Again, just a reminder, when your wipers are on, please turn your lights on. Just trying to help keep you safe.
Yeah.
And don't forget, too, next hour, our Go for the Green or Gold statewide text to win contest returns. After the 11 o'clock news, we will give you the word you need to text in via the Civic Media app for your chance to pick up either $100 in cash or some gold jewelry. And then everyone in the running for a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold Monday, December 23rd in Green Bay against New Orleans. Go for the Green or Gold, our statewide text-to-win contest returns next hour, so I hope you'll stick around for that. I saw this yesterday, and it just seemed to me like, this seems bad. Donald Trump talking to farmers yesterday in Smithton, Pennsylvania. Donald Trump is now threatening to impose 200% tariffs on John Deere tractors. There were apparently John Deere tractors behind him while he was making his statements.
Yeah.
Here's what the former president had to say, quote, "I just noticed behind me John Deere tractors. I know a lot about John Deere. I love the company. But as you know, they've announced a few days ago they're going to move a lot of their manufacturing business to Mexico. I'm just notifying John Deere right now. If you do that, we're putting a 200% tariff on everything that you want to sell into the United States. So if I win, John Deere is going to be paying 200%. He also said he would enact the tariff on John Deere, even though he described himself as one of their big customers. Does he have a farm somewhere?
Maybe.
Is he using them to mow the lawn at Bedminster?
Golf courses.
Well, I know he wants Ivana's grave to look nice.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I question whether or not the former president has a good grasp.
I'll stop you right there. No. You could add anything else to that sentence.
Finish it with anything.
Agreed.
No, he really doesn't.
No.
Our friend, Mr. Global.
You want to just be best friends
with him. I really do. Yeah. I'm just going to cozy up to him until he says, stop contacting me. Mr. Global, Matt Randolph was on the show yesterday. He is an expert in the oil and gas industry. And after the show is over, I saw he had just posted this. Calvin, let's play this clip from Mr. Global on Trump and cars.
Do you know that right now, and they weren't building them with me, they weren't building anything in Mexico having to do with cars with me, because I said, if you build it, we're going to put a 200%, you're not going to sell one car into this country. And
I just love the internet. You know, you just go look at, you can just go look, you know, it's great. Because according to Donald Trump, Mexico didn't build anything under him coming into the United States. He put a 200% tariff on it. In 2018, 2.67 million cars that were built in Mexico were imported into the United States, surpassing Japan. Mexico is now the number one place we get cars from. And that didn't change in 2019 either. As a matter of fact, in 2019, we imported a record number of cars from Mexico. Wow. What? A record number?
Huh.
3.3 million? 3.3 million? We went from 2.6 million to 3.3 million in 1 year under Donald Trump. Wow. And you know what the bad part is? He's probably just too stupid to know that that's happening. He probably needs someone close to him telling him, yeah, Mr. President, we stopped all imports from Mexico. We did that. That's a thing. Yeah.
Matt Randolph is Mr. Global. I highly encourage you to check him out on TikTok. And he's on the other socials too. But he does really insightful, really easy to understand explainers about oil prices and gas prices and natural gas prices. And we haven't even gotten a chance to talk to him about his ideas about renewables and
fracking.
And so we are going to have him back. But I just think, you know, Donald Trump loves to say that about everything. Well, I'm going to tell him that I'm going to do this and you're not going to do it anymore. That's not how it works.
Well, and that's what I mentioned yesterday when we were speaking with Dr. Mara Carlin from
National Security Action.
National Security Action. It's not so much, it's not about him standing up for America to these countries, to these leaders saying, no, you will not do these things. It's about him as standing up to these leaders in a, you're not going to do it.
Because I said so.
He's not going to defend us. He's not going to do anything. He just wants to make it seem like he'll be the big guy.
Right.
But he won't. If he won't stand up to world leaders who are impinging on others' freedoms, he's not going to stand up to Mexico about cars or John Deere about that. No, he won't. And not to mention, when you say I'm going to threaten you with a tariff, those companies will hit back.
Well, and he hurt their stocks. Shares in John Deere fell more than 1.5% in after-hours trade on Monday after closing up 0.75%. A representative for the company, according to Reuters, did not respond to a request for comment. Trump has made erecting extensive tariffs one of the central elements of his economic plan, the strategy designed to protect American jobs from foreign competition. Economists warn his measures will boost inflation.
Yes. Yes, they will. Because it's not going to threaten the other companies or countries. It's going to hurt us.
Yes. The stuff we buy, the stuff we buy will be more expensive. And we're going to be picking up that extra cost because that's how tariffs work.
Yep. And then people will say, oh, the economy is terrible. Everything's so expensive. I wonder why. If it's more expensive for us because of the actions of the president, then why is the economy not? This is hypothetical, by the way. The economy's great. Check the stock market.
Seriously.
We'll talk about it more, but don't check Trump's stock.
Truth Social. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Ouch.
But yeah, these have knock-on effects that people don't pay attention in the long-range planning of it all. So when they just see that their toothpaste goes up or their John Deere tractor gets way more expensive, it's the fault of whomever's in the chair then, not the guy who says, I'm going to raise tariffs back a year ago or whatever. It's so infuriating.
I just think it's important to highlight Trump does not fully grasp so many things. Mm-hmm. That seems dangerous to me.
And it doesn't keep him from talking, and no one's correcting him. And anyone who tries,
then you're not in the circle anymore.
Fake news, rhino, traitor.
Then you're not in the circle anymore. Yeah. Calvin, you actually found something about John Deere. What did you find?
So yeah, John Deere does have a pretty extensive line of golf course equipment. I found a Bloomberg article from 2018 saying that Trump golf courses are one of the biggest purchasers of John Deere equipment.
Kidding. Oh, so he was actually telling the truth in that instance.
Yeah, and then there's another article from 2011 specifically citing Trump International Golf Link Scotland has a comprehensive fleet of John Deere course maintenance equipment.
Well, good to know.
Well, you know, when he raises those, let me rephrase that. When he threatens to and then forces the tariff raising, his own company is probably sitting there going, shut up, dude.
We're gonna be paying more.
Yeah.
But at least, hey, you told the truth.
Good
well
job.
Well done. Yeah. That's a rarity, my friend.
It only took 9 years. Yay.
Yay, we'll take it. All right. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Luke Mather is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. Got some things we're going to kick around, including the fact that Donald Trump now says there's no time for another debate.
None.
There's no time.
None at all.
Isn't it 42 days till the election?
42
days?
Yeah, I think it's 42 days, yeah.
I think that there's time.
And there's a point when we talk to Luke about this whole thing that I'd like to bring up, but we'll talk about it when he gets here because I am sure Luke has a tangent or two, see what I did there, about this topic.
I have a feeling you're correct. We wanted to spend a little time, though, just doing a comparison shopping, shall we say?
Yeah.
For vice presidential candidates. J.D. Vance continues to make efforts to appear like a normal human.
Attempts.
He's trying.
Let's just go with attempts.
He recorded a commercial in a grocery store with his two young boys, where he blamed Vice President Kamala Harris for an increase in the price for eggs. CNN's Kit Marr reporting that Vance swung by a supermarket in Pennsylvania. One of his sons handed him a carton of eggs, and then he held the eggs and talked to the camera. Eggs, says J.D. Vance, when Harris took office, were short of $1.50 a dozen. Now a dozen eggs will cost you around $4. Thanks to Kamala Harris's inflationary policies, Pennsylvania has seen some of the worst grocery prices increases in the nation. It's because she cast the deciding vote on the Inflation Explosion Act. Unfortunately, the price tag for a dozen eggs right behind him was $2.99.
Oh, Calvin, can we go wah, 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 wah?
Now, I don't math, but $2.99 is less than $4, correct?
By a dollar one.
A dollar one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Wasn't there something else about all those eggs?
He's holding a 24-pack of eggs.
He's such an idiot. I don't like speaking that way about anyone, but he constantly, like, if Eric Hovde, by way of Pat Kreitlow, is a professional rake stepper, what in God's name is J.D. Vance? Is it like just no one has properly inserted the chip right into the back, into the motherboard?
He needs a reboot.
I mean, fatherboard. He would never let a mother do that. He's a fatherboard.
Of course.
But like, he sucks at this so much.
Calvin.
Well, that's not even on top of the claim he made about how many eggs a 6-year-old and 4-year-old eat every single morning. He claimed that his two kids that are old enough to eat eggs, I guess, eat 14 eggs every morning.
No, they don't.
Like, there's no way.
What?
No, they do
You're
not.
Telling me a 6-year-old's eating 8 eggs every single morning?
What are they, like, they're doing the Rocky thing and they're drinking them? They're not, you know, cracking them all in a glass and slamming that before they go to middle school?
Are his kids Olympic swimmers or Rocky, you know?
They need the protein. I mean, eggs are good for you.
I've seen 6- and 8-year-olds eat. They probably ate one little of the egg, and then they're done.
Or half a scramble.
Yeah.
You know, of one egg.
Then you're finishing it.
Yeah. How many eggs do your kids eat?
I have no kids.
Well, I mean, just for folks listening, I'm really curious.
Yeah.
How many eggs do your young children eat?
How much of anything do your kids, seriously, once again, I've seen your kids, unless it's dino-shaped chicken nuggies, they're not eating 14 eggs a day.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Our friend and colleague and host of the award-winning Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network is on the line. Maggie, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lovely to hear you. I just wanted to share some of the background on the egg prices. So it has been well documented that we basically only have, I believe it's like 2 or 3 producers of eggs in the United States. And obviously, in the peak of the pandemic supply chain disruption, everything got more expensive.
Yep.
But here's the kicker. One of the nation's, and I believe the largest egg producer, following when the supply chain opened back up and prices started dropping, actually started exporting eggs outside of the United States in order to keep egg prices artificially inflated in the United States. And they also began, quote, culling the herd at levels that had never been seen before. That means they were actually killing chickens. All of this to say simply this point, part of what's been happening with food prices is straight up price gouging.
Yep.
I call it pandemic profiteering.
Yep.
And Kamala Harris has a plan for that to help fix that and make that illegal. Thanks so much, guys. Just wanted to give some background on those gosh darn eggs.
I appreciate it, Maggie. Thank you so much. And make sure you listen to Maggie's show. She's fantastic. She follows
two
Todd.
To four. All,
2 to 4. She follows Todd, who's on noon to 2. And then after her is Dom Salvia from 4 to 6 p.m.
So love hearing that.
Stick with our whole lineup throughout the day here on Civic Media. We were going to contrast that with actual human being Tim Walz.
Yeah, I think we still can.
We got about 2 minutes left. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have he was at a local eatery. I don't know exactly where he's at, but they showed him something on the wall. He enjoyed it, and people enjoyed being around him. Calvin, can you play the clip?
So, no. Was that for today? Or is that a saying? So I have a saying that everything works better in government and in so many things if you just mind your own damn business. You take care of you. I don't need to comment on your family or what you're doing or what you're eating or any of that. I say it often. So I'm, yeah.
So that's basically the whole thing.
Well, and what did the sign say?
The sign said, mind your own damn biscuit and life will be gravy. And he was so excited about it. And they took a picture with him. And that's how you human, JD.
This is how to human.
You connect with human beings about their problems. Don't sit here and like, oh, egg. Like, dude, at least count the eggs. By the way, no one's kids eat eggs, according to the text line.
Well, Michaela in West Bend says, I have a 3-year-old and he lives in On My Hopes and Dreams. He eats 0 eggs. Mike from Green Bay, oh my God, talking about this egg thing is me crying. I'm laughing so hard. 14 eggs between a 6- and 8-year-old every morning. 2 things. The first is those kids should get their cholesterol checked. The second is I'm a 50-year-old fat guy and a couple of my friends couldn't demolish 14 eggs in one sitting. Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate it. Keep the comments coming. News is next. When we return, Luke Mathers will be here. I hope you will stay with us. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I don't need to have the plan in hand. I don't need to have the end in sight.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. It's the same number. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Very, very excited to have our next guest join us. Man coming back from far away, Luke Mathers is here. Good morning, Luke. How you doing?
I'm doing so well, Jane. How are you doing?
We are doing really, really well. Thank you for joining us. I know you just had a couple of weeks off so you could regroup and take a breath and do those good things, like relax.
Yeah, try to relax.
You sound relaxed.
I was seeing if there was a loophole in there for the new contest that we're doing. If I left the country, I didn't know if I could win some of these, you know, really, really cool tickets.
We have some prizes.
What are those prizes?
Next hour, our Go for the Green and Gold statewide text to win contest continues. Right after the 11 o'clock news, we will give you a word you need to text in via the Civic Media app. When you do that, you could win either $100, gold jewelry, but you will be in the running, everyone in the running, for 2 tickets. Club-level seats to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. I got to clear my throat. You take this.
Yeah, so we will be announcing that word at 11 a.m., so stick here, stick with the show, and then we'll have another word coming up, I believe, at 1 o'clock. And then another word at 4 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. Exactly. I'm right. So there you go. It's very exciting. People are. I know Matt from Germantown won something.
Yes.
A little something. So it's very, very. And also, here's something else to talk about, is that when you enter the contest, you will get another text from Civic Media saying, hey, follow through this prompt. You can get yourself another entry. It's things like registering to vote. Do you subscribe to the newsletter? Things like that. And get yourself an extra. It's just one time, though. I've been told it's just one time. It's not every time. Please don't yell at me again.
Keep re-registering to vote. Yeah. It's one time.
Yeah, one time for that, too. But it's really a great newsletter. Our news department does a really good job. Yeah. And it's stuff from all over the state, from all of our reporters all over the state. So go do that.
Yeah,
do that.
Go.
Go do that thing. We're going to talk, Luke Mathers, about debates.
Ooh.
There will not be a second debate between Kamala Harris, apparently, and Donald Trump. Kamala Harris did accept the invitation from CNN for the debate on October 23rd. Donald Trump says it's too late. He said at a rally in North Carolina that Kamala Harris only wants a rematch because she's losing. Quote, she's done one debate. I've done two. It's too late to do another. I'd love to in many ways, but it's too late. The voting is cast. The voters are out there immediately. Is everybody voting, please? Get out and vote. What?
Is he okay?
Well, we've been asking that for many, many years. I think it's important to remind people that the one debate that Kamala Harris and former President Trump did, they did it with the moderators, and that was it. Donald Trump, I believe, was talking to Sean Hannity, and he was talking about how the audience loved his performance. There was no audience in that debate.
Hey, New York Times, where's your articles on his age and ability to lead? Where are those articles?
Seriously.
Huh?
Seriously. He said the crowd went wild. I did so good. I won. The crowd went wild. Sean Hannity, of course, nodding along. There was.
Yes, tell us all about those voices. Yes. Tell us about the crowd.
Tell us about the voices in your head, my friend. There was no audience at that debate. Like you said, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, LA Times. Let's get on this. Talk about his cognitive abilities.
Yeah.
Is he slipping?
Now, I was gone for the debate. I did not. I was overseas for the debate. And so therefore, I want to say it aired about 4 a.m. where I was. And there was no way that I was staying
up for that.
Yeah, right. It just wasn't happening. So I saw bits and pieces. But it's very interesting, Jane, the fact that now after the fact, kind of in the pieces after that performance, that it seems like Donald Trump, I again didn't watch it, but from all accounts, lost the debate.
He lost.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Donald Trump said he won 93-6, 88-11, 73 hike. I mean, he won all of the debates, apparently.
Well, I watched the whole thing. She did a great job. He did not win that debate.
I heard walking around in the foreign country that I was in, did not watch it, but heard other Americans talking about how Donald Trump lost the debate.
Seriously.
Like that, just in the tourist areas that we were going about, seeing the sights, doing the things, the day, couple days after, talking about how Donald Trump lost the debate. Unprompted. I wasn't trying to right. talk about it. I was unplugged. I saw a couple of the clips. I saw a few of the responses. That was it. But I heard in a foreign country that Donald Trump lost the debate as like a peripheral, just walking around seeing the touristy things that we were doing.
Did you pretend to be Canadian while you were there at that point? You're like, I don't know. Who's Donald Trump? I love Tim Hortons and poutine.
No, I didn't go that far, but it was kind of just like one of those eyebrow raising things where you I didn't ask for it. It was just
around you.
You're right. You just overhear these things. And it's just very interesting. One of those kind of stereotypes that is a little accurate, that Americans are fairly loud tourists. It kind of played into my advantage, I guess, that day, because it was just some folks that were either visiting or living there talking about how they, their friends, whoever they were discussing it with, the fact that Donald Trump lost that debate against Kamala Harris.
Well, we do happen to have a few choice clips for you, Luke. So, Galvin, let's start first of all with, this is my favorite sound clip possibly of all time, Luke, and we're going to burn this into the ground. Let's have Donald Trump talking about his idea for, I believe it's health care.
Yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan.
Ah!
I'm not president right now, but if we come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive. And there are concepts and options we have to do that. And you'll be hearing about it in the not too distant future.
In 2 weeks, Luke, he's going to tell you all the details in 2 weeks. He's got concepts of a plan. So we're good.
It was almost ready when he was president, but then he stopped being president. But really, he never stopped being president. It was stolen from him and Joe Biden. Like, there's a very weird rabbit hole that you have to go down to really truly understand. I have concepts of a plan. Like, what are we talking about?
Well, and the fact that, well, I'm not president now.
Yeah.
So I'm not thinking about my concepts of a plan now because I'm not in the office yet.
I liken that, Luke, is like, if you ever went to a job interview and they said, well, what would you do in this situation? Well, I can't tell you that. I don't have the job yet. What are you, an idiot? I'll take my pay now. Thank you. It's
100% a scene from The Office where they're trying to hire the next manager. And I think it's Will Arnett is like, oh, I've got a master plan to boost your sales like 200%. They're like, great. Tell us what that plan is. And maybe we'll hire you to be our manager. And he's like, well, I can't tell you unless you give me the job. And then he gives like a sub point of the, and it's like, apply paperclips to this pamphlet to hand out or something like that. And he gives this minute little detail. He's like, see, that plan is airtight and I have it. It exists. Don't worry. Just give me the job.
Did that character work for Trump before he interviewed on The Office? Because that sounds like something someone who worked for Trump would actually do.
Oh, absolutely. Or I can see someone in his circle who saw that episode and said, this is it.
Yeah.
This is what you tell him. This is a brilliant idea.
You didn't have to see an episode. It was the 4 years of the Trump administration that Infrastructure Week was always going to be the next week.
In 2 weeks.
He was a builder. He knew how to do buildings. And then Infrastructure Week never came. And to the current president's credit, Joe Biden now says it's infrastructure decade because he actually got the legislation passed the projects funded. And these projects around the state of Wisconsin and the entire country are now being developed. And we're seeing the investment in those communities through actual infrastructure. And that's the difference between a leader that bloviates and says that they always have the solutions, but then actually one that comes through and delivers those solutions.
I just also want to point out one fact here, too. The infrastructure plan that went through the Congress, we have to also give it up to him and the Congress. It was bipartisan. On the Congress who's done the least amount of work in history, they got that done. Such a huge piece of legislation, they got done. That speaks.
Those are two different Congresses, though, Greg.
Oh, you're right.
That was the previous Congress that got that.
Well, they weren't doing much then either.
Now we've got McCarthy and Johnson leading the House, and they can barely. It. One of the things that I was not expecting while I was gone for 2 weeks was to come back to some headlines that it seems like Speaker Mike Johnson might be in hot water and get ousted, but before the end of the year.
Oh, he's a rhino.
Oh yeah, he's in so much trouble. Nobody's happy with him.
I was not expecting that one. So the fact that there is now a potential we could see the GOP caucus in the House of Representatives break the record they set earlier this Congress of how many votes it could take to get a speaker might be really interesting. That might be the October surprise that the GOP House is going to deliver to the nation.
You might not be far off there. We do have a couple more clips that I wanted to share with you from the first debate between the former president and Vice President Kamala Harris. Let's talk about Calvin, play the This Is Rich clip, please.
President Trump, thank you. I'll let you respond, Vice President Harris.
Well, I think this is so rich coming from someone who has been prosecuted for national security crimes, economic crimes, election interference, has been found liable for sexual assault, and his next big court appearance is in November at his own criminal sentencing. And let's be clear. Where each person stands on the issue of what is important about respect for the rule of law and respect for law enforcement, the former vice president called for defunding federal law enforcement, 45,000 agents, get this, on the day after he was arraigned on 34 felony counts. So let's talk about what is important in this race. It is important that we move forward, that we turn the page on this same old tired rhetoric and address the needs of the American people, address what we need to do about the housing shortage, which I have a plan for, address what we must do to support our small businesses, address bringing down the price of groceries. But frankly, the American people are exhausted with this same old tired playbook.
Again, don't tell me how you're so pro law and order when you're gonna every time he gets the chance he's gonna pardon the January 6th hostages, patriots, the people who are being so badly treated by this country, the ones who attacked Capitol police officers, injuring 140 of them. Don't tell me you're so law and order. That makes me furious.
And that was a mouthful of different things that he's been found like liable for in the court of law. That also missed the housing discrimination of the 80s, yeah. though. And I believe he and his family members can't even conduct a nonprofit in the state of New York now because there was misdoings when it came to administration of nonprofit funds.
They so were stealing. Like, they were stealing money from a children's cancer charity.
Yes. And so that was a mouthful of a response, but it still didn't encapsulate all of the different misdoings in the court of law that the former president has done. And so it's a very, like, it's his strategy. We've seen it since he came down the golden escalator that he wants to flood the zone with you know what.
Yep.
But it is important to call out that you know what as well. And it seems from the first debate performance that former President Donald Trump doesn't want to keep getting called out on that stuff by the current vice president.
I was just going to say really quickly, though, I find this very, very different shift because before the debate ever happened on the 10th, he was already saying there were going to be three debates, the ABC debate, a CNN debate, and a Fox debate. And the networks were like, I'm sorry, what? We have not agreed to this at all. But it's too late, folks.
It's too late. There's no time. Luke Mathers is here. We will continue our discussion. We got one more good clip for you that you need to hear from the first and apparently only presidential debate. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Follow you wherever you be and do what you ask me to. And do what you ask me to. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to be joined by our friend and colleague Luke Mathers back after a couple of weeks away. You were overseas when the first debate happened, the first now and apparently only debate between former President Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. There's one more clip I wanted you to hear, Luke, because I think this really stung the former president. Calvin, let's play that last clip, please.
Donald Trump was fired by 81 million people. So let's be clear about that. And clearly he is having a very difficult time processing that. But we cannot afford to have a president of the United States who attempts, as he did in the past, to upend the will of the voters in a free and fair election.
The whole sting about you got fired and you can't handle it, I think, really wounded him.
Well, the one that got in the worst, I was going to use very violent language, but I'm not going to. The one that got in the most, though, is when she made comments about his rallies. And that people were leaving early.
They were getting bored and leaving early.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He still won't shut up about the rallies. He'll talk about it while people are leaving his rallies. I'm not making that up, friends who disagree with me. I've seen the video. I know it's not doctored, but still.
And I've watched his rallies. And yes, people leave. Yeah. Especially when it's going past like the 90-minute mark. It's like, you got to be kidding me. But again, just to reiterate, during the one and only debate between those two people, it was Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, the moderators, and no one else. And now he's telling people that he won the debate and the audience went wild. There was no audience.
Jane, the audience was right here.
There was no audience.
It was right here, and more importantly, Jane, it was right here. And it was about the audience we made all along the way.
Well,
it was the audience that we made along the way.
But it's kind of like, I know intuitively, like Mike Johnson's whole thing. We know intuitively that millions of people are voting illegally. We don't have any proof for it, but we just know it. So I think
U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman just has it in his feelings.
Oh yeah,
that people are voting illegally.
I just know it in my bones. I just
his
feel
weird
it.
Rumply bones.
I think the important aspect of this, though, is never say never. We've got 6 weeks left, and there may be all of a sudden a switch that flips in the former president that he's just like, you know what? I want a debate now.
Sure, I'll go on CNN. I need this. Yeah. Calvin, you found some from when Donald Trump had done other debates in the past, and they were less than 42 days from the election, correct?
Yes. In 2020, he debated President Joe Biden on September 29th and October 22nd.
Oh.
And then...
So both later than today still.
October 22nd is practically after the election, according to Donald Trump, so why can't we?
And hey, then they confirmed Justice Amy Coney Barrett in like that time frame too.
You're
so
right.
Let's talk about things that happen too close to an election. I don't think a debate is out of bounds if you can confirm a Supreme Court justice to a lifetime appointment while early voting is actually happening too. So.
And what was his schedule for Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, in 2016, him and Hillary Clinton debated on September 26th, October 9th, and October 19th.
Huh. So in those cases, it wasn't too late. But in this case, after he got his butt whipped, now it's too late. There's no time. I can't do it.
He's really doing it to spare Kamala Harris the embarrassment of it just absolutely destroying in front of all of those dozen of audience.
Just like the Buffalo Bills are like, oh, no, we definitely don't want to play the Jaguars again. Because they cleaned their clock last night on Monday Night Football. So, of course, I think Buffalo would take that matchup. Or their rematch any day out of the week. But I'm sure Jacksonville is like, you know what? We're good. We'll just take the next game. We're fine.
And with the little time that we have left, Luke, we got about 3 minutes left. Another big win, probably according to him, is the Truth Social stock price. Ouch. While everything else, so many things on the Dow seem to be going up in the green color, and the Truth Social just keeps to kind of going down in the red color. What is the current price of Truth Social?
$12.40.
And what was it at its peak?
71,
I think.
It was 66.22. That was the highest peak it was. 66.22 on the March the 27th. Enjoying a rocky roller coaster of an existence over the summer, meeting its peak on the 15th at 40.58, which has just been a steady decline. Like anyone who watches Game of Thrones, you know, it just goes downhill from a certain point. And
Greg, I think it's important to point out, though, that doesn't really sound like a roller coaster. That sounds more, if you want to name it to an amusement park ride, the giant drop.
Well, now it is. I'm talking the summer. It was doing this thing
it
right
was,
here.
Yeah.
But now it's just a slow descent. It's at 12. At right now, 12.45. is the official price, and but don't worry.
The problem with this, though, is somebody at any point that is a bad actor could come in and buy up as much of it as they want at that low price, and all of a sudden there's a giant cash windfall on a publicly traded option that would go directly to the former president
absolutely.
If he were ever to cash out. So it's legalized corruption right in front of our very own eyes.
Pretty much. Luke Mathers, thank you so very, very much for carving out some time for us. We'll get you back on in a couple of weeks. News is coming up next when we return. Be ready to text that special word for the green and gold. Go for the green and gold statewide text to win contest. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.